Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, hey there, and welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that helps you get a little bit smarter each and every time, at least hopefully. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online at CoverYourAssetsKC.com. Hey, David, how's it going this week?
It's going really well this week. I'm excited about today's show. We get to answer some listener questions, and that's always way fun for me.
Opening up the mailbag or the listener line or whatever you want to call it. And I've got three questions to pose your direction on today's show, David. So, and this will help us cover a little bit of ground as well. We'll kind of dabble in a few different elements of the financial planning world, although I bet there will be some similarities and some tie-ins between all these questions. So I'm excited to get us going. Here's the first question that we'll dig out from the mailbag. It's a simple one, short and sweet. Can you explain the rule of 100?
Yeah, so the rule of 100, you know, every industry has their rules. And so this
you're,
is...
David, you're supposed to say, yes, I can, and then and then just stop there. That's yeah. I can.
Yes, I can. Next question.
And then I can do the follow-up. See, they were just trying to make me the hero of the question. Will you please explain the rule of 100?
I can. Can you, Walter? I'm sure you can, actually.
This is that one where it's this all has to do with like how much you should... in quotation marks, invest in stocks, right? So take your age and subtract it from 100, and then that's how much you're supposed to invest either in stocks and then the remaining amount in bonds, that kind of theory?
Safer stuff, yeah. And so safer stuff is up to the individual, whatever that is. It could be bonds or bank deposits or annuities or those kinds of things. But just so quickie little example, as if that wasn't an easy enough answer, if you're 30 years old, the rule of 100 say, you ought to have about 70% of your money in the stock market and about 30% in safe stuff. But when you're 60, you ought to have about 40% of your money in the stock market and 60% in safe stuff. So it's a fairly blunt tool in my business, but if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're not putting a lot of time into it, but you want to make sure you're kind of in the ballpark, then the rule of 100 is a nice little rule of thumb to start with. The less money you have, the more applicable I believe that this rule is. But the more money you have, I think it's less applicable. You really need to pay attention to your risk tolerance the more money you have. And the reason that is the pain of losing big dollars tends to be way more intense than the joy you get from when the market goes up. And then, you know, the size of your estate makes a big difference, especially if you're looking at intergenerational wealth. How much can you leave to the next generation? So you may tweak around that rule of thumb of 100. And then whether the money's in non-qualified money or IRA money, that's probably for a different podcast. But so there are a number of things that a more detailed guy like me would go into, but it's a nice, easy little rule of thumb where you should start with that and then see how much detail you want to get into.
It seems like the rule of 100 is one of the easiest rules out there, but even it makes the situation way more complicated than it should be. Like, why the whole subtract from 100? Why can't you just say whatever your age is, that's how much you should have, you know, in those risky investments? That seems a lot easier than having to incorporate the math into it, you know?
Yes. So it probably doesn't, you probably couldn't get that down to a nice, easy phrase to use. So rule of 100 was...
That's true. That's true. On just the naming alone makes it a little bit easier. So very good. It's more of a starting point than a rule, it sounds like, for maybe better you know, positioning of its purpose. Is that a better way to look at it, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And the easy takeaway is the older you get, the closer you are to retirement or into retirement, the less you'd really want to have exposed to the volatility that happens in the stock market.
There you have it, the rule of 100. Great question. If you want to submit a question, by the way, to potentially be featured on a future show, you can do that at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. And just get in touch with us in one of the ways on the contact page. Here's another question for you, David. Which of my accounts should I draw from first when I retire or withdraw from? 401k, IRA, brokerage account that consists maybe of a lot of mutual funds, extra cash from the bank. Let's say somebody's got all those different types of accounts. Where do you pull from first?
Yeah, well, so the person that asked that question, congratulations for having that many choices, because frankly, most people don't. I have a lot of clients who just show up with a big old 401k that they're going to roll over into an IRA, and they have very limited choices. So the question really boils down, in my view, it boils down to the taxes question. And it's all about taxes in retirement, especially for this person. So what you really want to do is you'd want to protect yourself against going into the next highest tax bracket. That's job one. So obviously, maybe it's not obvious, but if you take money out of a Roth, well, that doesn't cost you any taxes. You've already paid the taxes on your Roth account. Every penny that comes out of your 401k or your IRA, that's taxable as if it were a paycheck. So that's the most tax unfriendly choice in retirement. And then the money you have in a brokerage account, well, the interest and dividends are taxed every year, but you might have a mutual funds or stocks, or I suppose even bonds that you've held for a long time. And those can be taxed when you sell them at a long-term capital gain rate. The beautiful thing, if you find yourself in the 10 or the 12% tax bracket, then your long-term capital gains tax rate is zero. So it gets fairly complicated when you're looking at which pocket to take money out of when you need something in retirement. The biggest pot is usually your 401k, but it's rarely the most tax efficient place to go get that money. One other thing, if you happen to be a particularly if you have a particularly high amount of retirement income, taking out too much can cause your Medicare to become more expensive. More expensive by how much? Well, between maybe $700 a year and $4,500 a year extra. And so that's where having a brokerage account, money you can take out of a brokerage account, or especially money you can take out of a Roth account, it's super important to have those types of monies to access to avoid that Medicare surcharge. Other topics, but that gets you pretty far along the way as to the importance of having more than just one pocket, that 401k pocket to pull out of, and then which you would use depending on the situation that you find yourself in each tax year.
Awesome. Thank you for the question. That's a good one. And one I imagine is pretty popular, David. People kind of, I think that's a pretty common question. I would say, hey, where do you got all these accounts? Great, but which one do I pull from first?
Yeah,
very logical.
It becomes a mystery for most people because, frankly, the tax law is way more complicated than it should be, and you can have some unintended consequences by doing something you thought was perfectly fine. And if you'd known this one little thing, you would have done something different.
Interesting. Yeah. And it always comes back to taxes, doesn't it?
I figure. It sure seems to. I think it's going to more and more as we go on.
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right about that. No doubt about it. Figured we'd end up there eventually on today's show. All right. Another listener question here. This comes from someone who is 64 years old, David. And they say, I wanted to work until I was 66 or 67, so another 2 or 3 years. So I was going to get serious about my financial plans in a year or so, but I just can't deal with my mouth-breathing boss anymore. What do I need to have in place before I give them notice and storm out of here? That escalated quickly.
Oh, that's pretty funny. So 64, if you're female and you retired at 64, you've probably got 22 years or so in retirement to fund your own retirement without a paycheck. If you're a male, instead of 22 years, it's 20 years. Either way, it's a long time. So you need a real written financial plan that'll give you the confidence that you're never going to run out of money. And so age 64 is a little late to get started on that. You may have a plan in your mind, but nothing in writing. Optimally, 10 years ago, you would have gotten real serious about this so that you'd know exactly what it's going to look like. But you need a written financial plan, and here's what that does look like. First of all, you're going to want to know your sources of income in retirement. So you're likely to have Social Security coming. If you're married, you're likely to have a spouse who is going to have Social Security, and you may or may not have a pension. But those are really the two different sources of what I'm going to loosely call guaranteed sources of income in retirement: Social Security and a pension. Then your second step is you've got to know what you're going to spend in retirement. Not necessarily what you have to spend, but what you want to spend in retirement. And then you're going to have to include some inflation. So what are those things? Quick little down and dirty list. You get, maybe you have a mortgage, maybe you don't. You're going to have a Medicare premium. You're going to have a, maybe you have a car payment. Maybe you have an old car that you're going to need to replace. Repairs on your old car, gasoline for your car, utilities for your house, food you're going to eat. Maybe you're going to do some traveling. The thing a lot of people forget is, oh, what if I end up needing a new AC or a furnace for my house? What if my house needs a new roof sometime in the next 20 years? Very possible. Those are the things that have to be built into your expenses, and things like insurance and taxes, of course, because Uncle Sam wants his bite too. So you add all that up. And then let's say that your sources of income are going to be $4,000 a month, but your expenses are going to be $6,000 a month. So all that means is that from the money you've saved for retirement, you got to come up with $2,000 a month plus inflation for the next 20 or 22 years. If you live longer than your life expectancy, when I do planning, I like to make sure that money lasts to age 100. But depending on your own situation, you may decide that's a little too long. That's up to you. But that money is going to come out of the money that you've set aside for yourself to supplement your Social Security and perhaps your pension. Those things are your IRA, your 401k, hopefully a Roth IRA, and maybe some non-IRA money, a brokerage account, bank accounts, etc. So that's the written plan that you're going to want to have in place before you get tired of your mouth-breathing boss, because walking away too early, it's pretty tricky to go out and find a new job when you're 64. Doesn't mean you can't, but it's pretty tricky. So you want to make sure that you have your plan in place. And if you can't set up a plan that satisfies you for the next 20 years, then you need to hang around for the next one or two or three or 4 years in your job while you're getting super serious about your financial plan. And then, Walter, one other thing comes to mind. This person would want to already have a Social Security claiming strategy. Now, anybody that's been listening to these podcasts for the last year or two, you would know that the longer you wait to collect your Social Security, the more you're going to get every month. For instance, let's just say that at age 66, your full retirement age, you're going to get $2,500 a month. If you wait to age 70, well, you're not going to get $2,500 a month. You're going to get a little over $3,200 a month. So the longer you wait, the more you get. The problem is you have to fill in income between age 66 and age 70. You can either do that by spending down the assets you've saved for retirement, or you can work a little bit longer, maybe full-time, maybe part-time. But those are the two things I would say for this particular listener, making sure that you have a real written plan and a Social Security claiming strategy.
So important to make sure that you address all these different things. And boy, in just a couple of minutes, we covered a lot of ground on today's show. The rule of 100, risk versus safety, stocks and bonds. That was all in just the first question. We talked about all sorts of different types of accounts and where you can draw from first. And then, hey, what to do if you want to pull that retirement planning trigger right now and go ahead and get out of Dodge when it comes to your job, maybe a little bit earlier than you had originally expected. What needs to change last minute when you go through a situation like that? These are just a couple of examples, I would imagine, David, of the kinds of questions you're getting in the office all the time. These are just three examples of things that people have on their minds, but I'm sure you get questions in all shapes and sizes and ways and forms, huh?
We do. And the one I get maybe more often than most questions is, when can I retire? So we have a lot of listeners that are in their 30s and 40s. So, I mean, maybe your plan is to retire at 55, and whereas the question came in from somebody who's 64. The sooner you start your plan and then to start saving and investing in earnest so that you can accomplish your goal, well, that's totally up to you. But going along without a plan for the first 20 or 30 years of your work life, not so good. So, frankly, listening to podcasts like this is one big step along the way to getting you to your goals faster. And having a written plan, whether you're 25 or 35 or 65, that written plan is really the thing that's going to give you confidence that you're going to get to the end with money left over.
It's so important to have conversations like this. in your own personal situation? You know, we can talk about the generalities here on the podcast, but you've got to make sure that you're talking about your specific situation too. That's really important. If you want to talk to David about how you can set up time to meet for a complete planning review, get a deep dive and a good look at your financial situation and your retirement plan, do that by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. Or by calling 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Easiest ways to get in touch there. And we'll put the contact information to get in touch with David in the link in today's show notes. David, we appreciate the help as always on today's show, and we'll look forward to another good talk and conversation next week.
Thanks, Walter. I'll look forward to that as well.
Sounds good. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.